You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
They laughed at me. They all laughed. It was hello, hello, bye bye, maybe goodbye, come back a little bit, then just surging to the end. Who knows? The story that was the 2016 election. They all said we'd never get together. But what the. Who's got the last laugh now? I don't know. I think that a lot of people lost a lot of money, and a couple of people had to have lost a little bit of money or made a little bit of money on the odds of President Trump. Now, we got lots to talk about tonight, and a lot of it is we have to really analyze what happened. We have to have a postmortem. We have to sit down. And we have to analyze everything that we just witnessed and everything that we're witnessing right now and what's going on with people and people's what people are saying, what they're clinging to, what they believe, or what else, what they, you know. It's one of those things got to do, because once you get to the bottom of that, then you get to understand and see where all the strings are and how who's got their hooks in you and for what reason. Very, very interesting. I saw the saw that one poll. After every election, somebody always puts out some kind of an electoral map, and they say, oh, this is what the country would look like if only people 18 to 25 were voting. And, of course, it's all blue. Thinking that that it says something about the generation. Well, maybe in a way it does, because that's what people are being groomed with in high school and college right now. Far left Marxist ideologies. It's just what it is. And, but even that education and even that peer-to-peer influencing, that all goes away, or at least a lot of it goes away the day that you have to start paying rent. And you realize how much keeping more of what you earn, which means less taxing and spending of federal government, how more personal, how more independence, being independent is actually more beneficial to you in a number of ways. You learn it the hard way. That's why the old quote goes, if you're not a liberal by the time you're 20, you've got no heart. If you're not conservative by the time you're 40, you've got no brain. It's not because you went from a fun-loving camp counselor to a nasty hood-wearing racist in 20 years. That's not it at all. That's not what liberal versus conservative in a 21st century sense. That's what it's been reduced to. It's ridiculous. We're talking about common things. Can you live your life the way you want? Yes. Can you keep most of what you make? Yes. And how about we just only pay for what we can afford and not take out loans and then take out loans to pay off the interest of the last loan and then take out another loan to pay off the interest accrued from the first two? Okay, which is the insanity we're at right now. And of course, what's attached to that spending? Politics. How people are raked into a barnyard. lured in, have the fence, the electrified fence closed behind them, and that's that. Then you have a voting block, a dedicated voting block. So it's not that conservative type people don't have compassion. It's just that if you take a look back and you really look at the effects of poverty, the effects of the limitations of upward mobility in this country now, and what caused it, cause and effect, you see that things that really had great intentions turned inward on itself, and it imploded, and it had the opposite effect. We have to start thinking about things on a level of, does it do good or does it feel good to say it? Does it do good or does it feel good? That's what we have to start saying to ourselves. Because obviously you can't use the word conservative with people. You can't use the word liberal with people, which is actually a terrible thing because classical liberalism is just... there's freedom right there, and they've turned it into such a dirty word. It's just not what it is. But, you know, we have a special guest in 13 minutes. And I have to read what she wrote. Now, I just met her. She's a friend of a friend, and her name is Stephanie. And she's going to be calling, or I'm going to call her in a little bit just to talk to... just talk to her about just whatever. Maybe she's watching right now. Maybe she'll have some things to comment on already. I know she was a Bernie Sanders supporter, but she has a very succinct spin on everything that's going on right now. And I can't wait to read it. But my first thought is this. Gandhi said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. No matter how you voted or didn't vote at all, this Trump wave was like the end of V for Vendetta, where the masked people just walked right through everybody. They didn't throw a punch. They didn't do anything. They walked right through, in between, in and out of all the police. They walked right past all the media. They rejected the media. They rejected the fake polls. They rejected the shaming. They defied party establishment types. They rejected the candidates that the party wanted people to want. This was very, very impressive what happened last night. It's not impressive to you if you believe that everybody that cast a vote last night against Hillary Clinton was a racist, sexist, and all of a sudden now you think everybody around you is, I can't believe I'm surrounded by these millions, tens of millions of racists. Oh my God. If you're coming from that standpoint, then this isn't going to make sense to you. And I'm sorry for that, but maybe we can get around to it, chip away, when you see that there's really very, very little to get emotional about. And that the fact that everybody is emotional right now, how emotional they are. Everybody, actually I'll save this for Stephanie. Hold on, let me write this down. The speeches. I'm going to ask her about the speeches, what she thought about the speeches if she saw them. And that was just, it was just very, very impressive to me. So, you know, we need a couple of minutes, maybe a minute or two to read this. So I am going to just jump to that right now. Let's get a dank beat up first. Matt's happy.
I am.
You're a happy man.
I am. I knew he was going to win the whole time.
Yeah, it started getting very, very tense in here. Everybody was starting to get very, very happy very quick. Matt looked like a little kid.
I mean,
Mike May looked like a little kid. Mike May was bouncing.
You should see what we were out there before. We're fucking around, we're joking, and someone said something like, oh, yeah, you know, Trump supporter. And I said, Mike May's the Trump supporter. He's like, yeah, what? What the fuck's someone going to do about it? Like, he's like, that's what I'm just going to tell people. Oh, you voted for Trump. I'm like, so what the fuck are you going to do? You going to fight me? That's how he's going
to... See, we have to get through to the Mike Mays out there and calm them down. Because this is a real example. Dude, something very big was done last night. The machine that everybody was talking about was thrown back. Back, foul beast. the machine that everybody has talked about raging against was actually thrown back last night. Something very significant happened last night. And, you know, if we are able to try to grab this, grab onto something here, because there's something else we have to talk about. The things that were really done last night, I'm gonna have to try to speed through reading Stephanie's piece. But here are some of the things that came to me right off the bat. Number one, the system still works.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's... I mean, the only reason why I was a little bit... Like, dude, I mean, I've been saying for a while I knew he was going to win, but I thought, like, the only way he's going to lose is if it is fucking rigged.
Yeah,
and
we have
was
to...
in the back of my head.
We'll see. At number two, we have to burn through these. Number two, the polls are now confirmed bullshit. We knew they were bullshit then, and the gaslighting didn't work. They showed us once they're telling us that Clinton's winning by, you know, close to double digits in almost all states.
It's
proof that they were all bullshit. That she was winning in all those states and commanding leads, and Trump was leveling off and going away. They're trying to get people not to go out to the polls. They're trying to convince people it was over. And we just knew that there was no enthusiasm on the ground. Nobody was showing up. We saw who was showing up to Clinton's rallies. We saw who was showing up to Trump's. How could you tell us that this woman is killing him in like across it? Everybody said, oh, he's not only going to lose, he's going to be decimated. Like, are you sick? What? So that's the gaslighting effect, everybody.
All the experts. That's what all the experts said.
So that's you know, there you go. And why? Why didn't the gaslighting work? Why did this do this? Guys, we are sitting in the middle of it right now. This 2008 was probably the first election that was won over by how do you influence people on social media. This was the really first election that alternative news, alternative media, you know, the bloggers, the podcasts, talk radio, all this leaks, the forums, all these things that show up around the internet where people are running to get away from television, because we all agree that the television and that the bought and sold mainstream media is defunct. It is gone. This was a major victory for people like us in our communities of just information sharers. I hate to say communities because it sounds so dirty as well. But this was a huge election for alternative news. We used mainstream media to watch the debates, and we used mainstream media to watch them call the states last night. That's it. I don't think anybody gives a shit what these people say anymore. We know how to find our news. We know how to cross-check it with history. All these politicians, they speak, all these things that people report on, they're just text. It's just text transcripts of things that we can watch from all types of media sources. Television, the internet, people taking firsthand accounts and uploading it to their YouTube. We don't need reporters. We share information our way. Because we know, because we can see the things happening, because we can show everybody where the faults are, we know objectively journalism is dead unless you know where to find it. People like Abby Martin are the Joan of Arcs of journalism. You know, shit like that. So, in either case, we got to get around to a lot of this stuff. The alternative media won, and number four, this is the last chance that President Obama has to be the unifier that we all hoped he would be in 2008. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see him get a second first chance. Because, of course, if Hillary won, then the dog whistles would still be blowing. Full on. Because then he'd be handing his presidency into the hand of someone who's just going to inject it with steroids. So there's that. And everybody in the chat room, I see you chatting. I'm going to get in there and love you down a little bit. But I have to read this from Stephanie. And Stephanie, if you're watching, I might have to call. Oh, wait, no. It's 7:10 right now. Easy. Easy peasy. So this is what Stephanie said today. And I was tagged in it. I said, oh, please, let me get her on the air. Shit, I was going to keep my mouth shut, but since everyone seems to be letting it all hang out, despite magnanimous pledges to the contrary less than 12 hours ago, why the fuck should I hold back? To everyone who is genuinely shocked at the outcome, who is hating on people who voted third party, who is comparing today to 9/11, and mind you, I'm just seeing things pop up on Twitter, because I'm not looking at Facebook. I know what kind of a shit show Facebook is right now without having to see it, because I know what kind of a shit show Facebook has turned people into. With the constant brain drain. Whoever she continues, who genuinely believes that at least 50% of this country is irredeemingly evil. Here's a little dose of reality, which you can chase down with a double shot of bourbon or unfriend me, whichever brings you the most relief. Number one, Hillary lost Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, states that have been typically reliably blue, along with many others in the Rust Belt and everywhere else, because these were places that were absolutely gutted by NAFTA. The financial crisis caused by the financial crisis caused by the repeal of Glass-Steagall, and the shenanigans of Clinton's wealthy supporters. Once again, NAFTA and Glass-Steagall were both born in the Clinton era. So not only have those places been destroyed, but it's been destroyed by the husband of the person who was coming back in. You know? Just like the Haitians don't like the Clintons. A lot of people in those industrious cities, or formerly industrial cities, don't like the Clintons either. The Clintons have a tendency to kind of be like the aliens from Independence Day that kind of go from planet to planet, like locusts taking their resources. That's just pretty much it. These are people who have been systematically fucked over and then ignored by everyone. Michael Moore said the vote for Trump was a giant fuck you to government, Wall Street, the media, etc. But it was more than that. They genuinely hope that they will get their jobs, livelihood, and dignity back. Maybe in 2024, the Democrats will win back these voters by reaching out to them instead of dismissing them as deplorables. Here's a second point. Identity politics is a losing strategy, which I think should be number one. This should have been number one for me. No one is entitled to anyone's vote. There are African Americans who want safer communities, women who are anti-abortion, Latinos who are legal citizens and against illegal immigration, gays who support the Second Amendment, and on. Maybe the Democratic Party will stop taking their votes for granted and start treating them as if they're individuals with agency instead of a monolithic voting block to be condescended to and coddled once every 3 years, but then ignored the rest of the time. Maybe calling everyone that disagrees with you a racist, misogynist, sexist, or literally Hitler isn't the best way to win the hearts and minds. That's when I started getting semi-aroused. It's fucking everything. It's everything. And later on the show, we have a lot of just a couple of posts of people blaming it on shallow end of the pool, misogynistic, racist type of things, and amazingly scathing comebacks that aren't so much, no ad hominems for by any means, but scathing in the way where it cuts to the core of the ignorance that is keeping people from looking at what this really is. Now, Donald Trump is a progressive president. He has some conservative ideas that I like, just because I want this shit to shrink and I want freedom to grow. And I want human charity and I want love for community to come back. Okay? I want people loving communities, their own and the ones next to them, helping out. I want to see people start charities, dedicate themselves to philanthropy. I want to see that stuff take the place of government. Because not only does it help more from a resource distribution sense, but it helps more in a morale sense. When people know who's helping them, where the help is coming from. We need to take this opportunity to rethink things. You think it's healthy that people think that gays and minorities are going to start being executed right now? Do you think that that's healthy that people have been allowed to think that? It's unbelievable. You know what? Let's call up Stephanie right now. Why read off what she's saying and just talk to her, because she's already said enough. And joining us right now, our new friend Stephanie. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Have you been watching anything in the last couple minutes? Have you been listening to the last couple of minutes, Stephanie? Do you hear me? Oh, wait, we got a bad connection. Let me try drop the video. Okay, I'm going to write back. I'm going to call her back. We had a bad connection. Bad connections happen, everybody. Oh, it's still red. I hope this broadcast doesn't cut out. Looks like I got neutral now.
Sorry, hey. My computer is crashing, so my phone now.
Okay, that was on your end.
I don't know what was going on, so I just switched to my phone.
Well, Stephanie, I don't know if you've been... Have you been watching the last couple of minutes of the show?
No, I just literally got home, so...
Well, we just did... we got through your first 2 points, and this is just such a succinct argument. It cuts to all of the problems that were the real problem that's going on in the country, the approach that has created almost like, I feel like tens of millions of people right now are trying to fight ghosts. They're just they're trying to fight imaginary friends right now. The problems,
yeah.
Many of which that popped up because of a certain type of political approach that has been implemented. And you cut to the core of it so well. What was going through your mind up until you said, you know what, I have to get down to writing this stuff out?
Well, I mean, it was stuff I'd kind of been thinking of throughout this whole process. But I guess, like, I mean, I knew that after last night and this morning that there were going to be a lot of people who were just going to be completely blown away and completely shocked by the results, especially all the people, all the Nate Silver fanboys and girls who were like, yeah, it's going to be like 70% win, you know.
Yeah.
And when it actually happened, we're just completely mind boggled. And, you know, I got to work and I'm sitting at my desk and all the girls sitting around me are like crying into their keyboards and saying, you know, this is like the world, you know, like, I can't believe our country. This is like, you know, everyone is so hateful. Everyone is like, it's a bunch of racists and a bunch of bigots. And, you know, and then of course on Facebook, which is, you know, always the highest level of discourse, people like comparing it to 9/11. Like, I feel like
the 9/11, the 9/11 comparison. What is it that just?
I feel like I'm watching the planes go into the towers, and I'm like, are you kidding me? And it's like, okay, I get like the historical magnitude, and I totally get that. You know, that there are really valid complaints about sexism and misogyny and. There is actual bigotry out there, and it does exist.
Of course.
But the fact that it was just getting boiled down to this issue and not really, like, the actual, what was actually happening around the country.
Well, let me ask you, now you were a Bernie Sanders supporter, right? See, now I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. I'm a very limited government guy. Okay.
Well, actually, I'll clarify that a little bit. For the prime, like, I'm kind of both. Like, I liked some of Bernie's ideas, but I don't really fit in to either camp. Like, I'm not a big government type of person, but I did like his ideas,
right.
At least pertaining to reining in the banks
and breaking up the trusts and all that. I would love to see some trust busting done as well.
and busting up. And I mean, him and Trump were both against TPP. So what I was actually curious about was really seeing the matchup. Like, if it had been Trump versus Sanders, it would have actually, I think it would have been more of a discussion about actual policy and actual issues.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, yeah. you think about that. What would those debates have been? It wouldn't have been, we wouldn't be dealing with Project Veritas. We wouldn't be dealing with WikiLeaks and the DNC, because it's obvious the DNC didn't want Bernie Sanders at all. And you know, so it would have been something different. And I think that going into this, we would have, I mean, Election Day would have already had about 30% less stress on all of our shoulders right there, because there's something just so nasty about the Clinton campaign and everything that we were seeing. So, I mean, that's just my whole thing there, too. But I just wanted to see what you thought about. Did you make who you voted for, or did you not vote public?
I didn't make who I voted for public, and okay. I still won't, just because,
but you
like,
went third party?
Huh?
You went third party, though? Okay, so that is something that I was hoping that more people did. Like, if I knew that the Clinton campaign was destroyed because Bernie Sanders people really were never going to go Hillary Clinton, and her poll numbers started dropping where, you know what, I think she's really going to fall to the wayside, then even I would have voted third party as well. So it, really for me, I was voting against Clinton the whole time, because it was just, when you talk about raging against the machine and throwing back the machine, there was no bigger embodiment of that machine than her. And
exactly.
I mean, that's just the thing that got me. But the thing that got me with the Bernie supporters was that when it gets revealed to you that the campaign he ran that raised and spent about $220 million of everyday people's money, that it all went for naught and it never had a chance, how do you ever give yourself a vote to the person who took that from you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And it's... I'm actually, believe it or not, though, I'm actually surprised at how many Bernie people did flip for Hillary. No. That's, like, the bigger mystery to me. Actually, I guess maybe it shouldn't, because certain people were just so, like, I mean, a lot of people were just so disgusted with Trump's rhetoric that, like, that was, they just weren't, you know, going to vote for vote for him at all. Yeah. But, like, yeah, for, like, the diehard Bernie people, like, I don't know how you get over that level of betrayal and just, like, the complete contempt that Hillary and the Democrats showed for that base of supporters.
Yeah.
Which really had the potential to completely revitalize that party.
Absolutely.
And of course, like, you know, the leaks that came out afterwards, like, he wasn't really supposed to be a serious candidate to begin with. You know, there's rumors that, you know, he was supposed to concede back in March, but then, like, it picked up steam and, you know, he just ran with it longer than he was supposed to. I don't know how
Is that where they said one of the emails said it wasn't part of the deal or something like that?
Yeah, like, it wasn't part of the deal. Like, this was supposed to be wrapped up in March.
Right. Well, Stephanie, I'm really so happy that you spent some time with us tonight. I would love, do you do any writing for, like, or like a personal blog or anything like that? Because you're very succinct with your writing as well, and that's what I like most about it, I think.
Maybe I should do that, though. You're giving me an idea.
Well, if you give it any thought, stay in touch, because we're always going to be looking for new writers for the new website that we're launching in a couple of days. So would love to.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to, actually.
All right. So, you know, and this is the type of website where if you threw the equivalent of an elongated Facebook rant would be good for the articles that we want to put on here. So aside from that.
That would be fantastic. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Now, we'll definitely be in touch. This won't be the last time.
Okay, great. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going to play my piano here now. So that was our first talk with Stephanie. And moving on to other things, what we're going to do tonight is we're actually going to figure out all the lists of the celebrities that have to now leave.
Yes. Let's see if they live up to their word.
What's that? No, I didn't see anybody's whole thing. Oh, why? Is she being accepted? Yo, Anthony just said that. He asked me if I saw Miley Cyrus's whole thing, because and for some reason that just explains it. You can just tell somebody, "Did you see the whole thing?" You know, and you just know. You can just imagine what kind of thing does that person usually do. So I didn't see it, but he just said that she was crying and all that, but she accepts him. Which I don't know if that is just a way for her to be the bigger person and show all of her followers how much she even accepts hateful, terrible people. That she's so amazing that she realized that maybe she has to still accept and love the hateful person. Let me see here. So we got Nikki, Mary, Ilock, Brad, Rumble and Roar, Mike Delabate. Everybody's in there hanging out. Good to have you guys in the chat. It feels like we just got off the air about an hour ago. Last night was a marathon, man. Happy Wednesday, Stacy. It is a big night. So I got all that stuff out of the way, my initial things. But the speeches today. Last night, Donald Trump gets in front of the nation at Trump Tower, and he gives his speech, which was very, very calm, very, very collected, very, very presidential, and very, very, this was the guy that you hoped was on the other end of the dark tunnel. At least for this glimpse. And I really do think that you're going to get this now. He's not trying to win office anymore. Now he has to try to get... I really do think you're going to get something very, very unlike what you thought you were going to get.
He's going to be a good president.
You have Donald Trump, which sounded great. And now I'm going to say this. Hillary Clinton sounded sane and calm and strong. Very positive. She looked very positive. So positive that, like Anthony said before, you're watching all these speeches and you kind of feel bad that you felt wrong. You're like, okay, well, I guess she's a nice lady. And, you know, like you get tricked into it for a second and then you realize, oh, yeah. That's right, the murder.
And that's why, like, Donald Trump's just the same, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Donald Trump is always going to... Okay, he's a little bit of a jackass. There he is. He's still there. But he was never hiding it from him. He was never hiding it from you. And you know that there's those jackasses in high school that they always have their little redeeming qualities, because even the jackasses, they're not bullies. Okay, sometimes they corner you into the wall, corner you with the language and stuff. But the only punches I think Donald Trump has ever thrown in the last however many decades was when he was on, what, World Wrestling? What was that, WWE or something?
Yeah, he was on WWE, you know, back in the day. He fucking jacked up Vince McMahon.
You know, Mike Delabate said, I did kind of feel bad. You can tell she had been crying.
Good, good.
You know.
They should fucking capture her tears because they're fucking toxic.
Capture.
Fucking bottle them and throw them in the fucking Marianas Trench before they get away.
Quick! Capture her tears and bury it at the greatest depths that the world knows. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
This is an amazing season. If I were to tell you 2 years ago that Donald Trump would be president, look, you would look at me and you're absolutely crazy. But you know what? We're here, Susan, and he's president. Look, isn't it amazing, Susan?
What was that? Hold on, no. Go ahead. Is it no. Wiggle it around. Yeah, now it's starting to crack.
Is it working?
Yeah, terribly, but yeah.
So I there's here's one person who's obvious. He's a liberal, okay. I know who this is. I'm not going to mention names, but it's a really good. I thought it was a good status. Look, he goes on a real note. 4 years is not an eternity. Eternity. Now that Hillary is out, someone great will step up. Calm down and relax, because believe it or not, Donald has always been an outspoken, unrepentant liberal. Fact. America is great. Fact. He's not deporting millions of people. Fact. He's never asked God for forgiveness. Fact. Donald is an entertainer and salesman from New York, not a farmer that got rich. Fact. His true colors are about to show, so make money and keep moving forward.
That's it.
We, the rest of the hold on. We, but I don't know. We aren't going anywhere. Sometimes change is needed, even this kind of change. This is America. We are American. Hillary is fighting tears while asking us to support the man that shouted, lock her up. Why? Because he didn't mean it. He's a salesman that needed a path to the White House, and it worked. Now, forward movement. Don't let the division stop you from progressing. We are America. We are diverse. This isn't changing. Who's next?
Yeah. No, that's good. How many likes did it get?
It's about 80.
He's true. It's 100% true. We've been listening to this guy on Howard Stern for years. He's not rattled by this stuff. He knows what time of day it is.
He did exactly what he needed to do to get in.
Absolutely.
He knew that it was an impossible feat.
Absolutely.
To actually be able to do something like that. So he had to do what he had to do.
Absolutely.
So you don't think Hillary's going to go to jail ever?
Yeah. Listen, here's the thing. If new stuff comes out, when he has a new attorney general, it's not the president has no the president is not involved in saying, please investigate that person. Not at all. These are pretty much DOJ is under the executive branch. I believe that FBI is under the executive branch as well and all that. But that's not a president's job. If you know, congressional. Congress can issue subpoenas if they think that material that is making the news and people that might be subverting the U.S. in some way, or you know, there's a leak out there that is calling negative attention to something, that Congress can subpoena people. The House subpoenas people. So the president is nothing. The president has got to get in there and make sure he installs a good cabinet of people that are independent and that are loyal to the Constitution, to go out and handle their business within government properly. And if we are being unbiased, and if we are applying justice across the board, then we're going to weed out the cancer. But the problem is, right now, we've got far-left Marxist ideologues in government that need to be rooted out. And Hillary Clinton was going to be such a disaster. Because she's an example of somebody who should be in jail, but was not put under that kind of scrutiny because the government was not acting independently and not acting in the best interest of the American people and preserving the Constitution and the rule of law. There was politics involved, big politics, that strung its way from the White House all the way through the news networks and the political parties that control all of them, and their corporate donors and their big globalist billionaire philanthropists. This was huge. If people looked at now that status Anthony just read, fantastic. That's what people have to start looking at it dislike. The reason why he was cast out there as Hitler was because he disrupts something that has been weaving its way through the heart of this country for so long, that wanted to protect its own interests for so long. Whether you like it or not, Hillary Clinton, objectively, from an objective standpoint, was a far worse candidate than Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You Absolutely. Have been made to think and feel the way you are thinking and feeling. I know you say, oh, you can say, I wasn't made to feel anything when I saw him say, grab somebody by the pussy. Okay. Then you took a break to go home and jerk yourself off to the porn website that you frequent three times a week. It's like we're a nation full of pornographers over here, and are we really grossed out by this stuff? What the hell's going on here? Hearing a private conversation between two jackasses, male peers, trying to make each other giggle like the jackasses they are. And you're going to, oh my God. You see, that's what we're talking about. They had to get you somehow. You wouldn't know about anybody who got coughed on by Donald Trump 40 years ago in the middle of October of 2016 if it wasn't because somebody else thought you'd get mad. If they thought that you would like Donald Trump more by exposing a rapey past, they would hide all of the women he raped. Think about that. Let's say Donald Trump raped three women. But the DNC's internal metrics and all of their statisticians and all that who are conducting all of their scientific surveys of buzzwords that do right, things that affect people's opinions of people, if they all thought that exposing a rape of Donald Trump's would actually make his ratings go up, they would keep the victims in the shadows. They wouldn't go on some social justice crusade. We're not dealing with people of integrity right now, okay? Never have. The other side's just as bad, but this election was different. Both sides were attacking this man. He stood like a mountain and took everything. He weathered all types of storms. It's unbelievable. Like a mountain, he stood there.
I'll never forget that GOP, what was it, the debates?
Yeah.
And he was just, it was like they were trying to bring down a beluga whale.
That's it. They looked like all the little seriously, it looked like...
Yeah, like this big fucking sperm whale or whatever.
It's like they're trying to, like, you know how those little parasites?
The sea monster or something they were trying to bring down. He was just right in the middle. He was given all these damning questions he was getting teamed up on by both Rubio and
Cruz.
They were just teaming up on him. They were just, like, it was insane.
It wasn't just them, though. It was them and the moderators.
Yeah.
Megyn Kelly.
Think about that. And millions of people are watching. That was just insanity.
You have to really step back and see what this man weathered.
Well, that was all good because, I mean, what that looks like is just like people are watching that. It's like, you know, reporting it on news. Like, people are watching that and they're seeing, like, everyone's attacking this
exactly.
guy. Exactly. Why? There's so many things went into his favor from the start of this that he knew he was going to win.
And you know something else? I'll go as far as saying this because I know that this election got ugly. But putting aside the ugly parts, because everybody's involved in ugly in politics, putting aside the really ugly parts, what better vetting process to really see? Can Donald Trump take the pressures of the presidency? He has been fighting the entire planet for the last year and a half. And he has stood there and stared it all down without flinching. The man is built for this stuff, yeah. 100%. Yeah. He has been vetted. And his acceptance speech.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
He is showing you, if he walks out into the world with the guts of steel that he has, and the ability to be that cool, that calm, that presidential, and that real. You combine those two, and there's going to be some real good things happening. Real good things happening. Compared to where we were, absolutely. Are we talking about a 1776 George Washington power? No. No. But we needed something. Put all of that stuff together. You have to break away with what they've been made to have you feel first, though, to be able to share in this. What is going on, Johnny Vroom?
Hello, hello.
How are you feeling?
How am I feeling? Surprised. I am surprised. I didn't expect this to go this way. I did not. I don't think a lot of people did. Honestly, like in their heart of hearts, I had a teacher once who used to say, it was a tech class. He'd say, in your heart of hearts, what do you actually do? Okay, do you really do it the right way or do you do it the wrong way? In your heart of hearts, did you really think Donald Trump was going to win this?
No. I wasn't confident about it at all.
I genuinely don't think very many people that weren't borderline delusional thought with conviction that he was going to win this presidency.
Absolutely. Absolutely not.
To expand on that, I have a pretty interesting perspective that I deal with every day when I go to work, because I work in blue collar America. I work with part-time Social Security guys who were in foxholes in Vietnam, to guys that are my age busting their ass trying to just make it work, to a Guatemalan fellow who has four kids, and it's completely legit because you don't get to this country with your kids. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, some of the guys this morning, I swear to God, their feet did not touch the floor the whole morning.
There's something light about myself too, man. I didn't expect to feel this light today.
And I don't know if it's fair to liken it to what folks might have felt in 2008 when Barack Obama was elected. But I almost, of course I was, what was I then? I could vote then, I think. Yeah, that was my first election. So the high school perspective is pretty irrelevant. So the impact I didn't see as much, so I don't think I can honestly attribute the same impact.
Right.
But I feel like for a certain crowd, it has that, and granted for anyone who votes for, really believes in the candidate, but I think for a large crowd, there is that almost elated feeling today when the guy that they truly believed could do it and they just despise the other person so much actually went out and won the presidency.
Right. Absolutely. And you know what? While you're on the phone, let's do a couple of these other things. Now, here is...
am I just on the phone so I can put the fucking phone down?
Well, I'm going to be doing a screen capture so you can put perfect. It down. But your video has been on at times. All right. So here is a map of the country. You're going to see it's a solid blue map. There you go. Okay, now, this solid blue map is part of a Tumblr post that I came upon. Now, what do you think that this blue map represents? It represents, this is a map of the voting results if no white people had voted. Just to be clear, white people put Trump in office, not non-voters or third parties, white people. And this is exactly why we need white people who consider themselves allies to step the fuck up and hold other white people accountable for all the horrible attitudes that put the country in this position. You are not off the hook. Your passiveness did this too. Every time you chose to remain silent, you contributed to an environment that tolerates Trump. Well, I just want to point to you guys one thing, because I know you're going to hear a lot of really sad, sad sacks like that say terrible things like that. But I want you to look at this once more. And you want to know what that really says? You want to know when somebody goes and cherry picks stats to make a map look like that? You know what that really tells you? That tells you no choice. That tells you no opinions necessary. That tells you the antithesis of freedom. These are not people who want to live in a diverse, multicultural environment. They want to live in a supremacist environment where people fall in line and think like everybody else, behave like everyone else, worship the same types of people, pave the way for others, bend over backwards, and know when you should shut up because your opinion is not necessary if you come from a certain place, look a certain way, pee standing up, or something else, or if you don't have a good tan either. That too. So there's just one more example of the inclusiveness and the liberty that people want. Johnny, did you see anything like that today?
Not particularly from that point of view. I did think it was hilarious last night because, granted, we haven't talked extensively in a little bit because my life has been hectic. But my favorite thing that I came across last night, and I'll tell you, I very loosely followed everything that happened last night.
Yeah.
The only things I saw were something that might have came across my Tumblr dashboard normally, which with the people that I follow, it's not like anyone's really reblogging every percentage that rolls in kind of deal.
Right.
The funniest thing I saw was a map of Texas, or maybe it wasn't even a map. It was just a map, and it had the country, and the first, like, I don't remember what the percentage was, but percentage-wise, it was probably like 200 votes that rolled in from Texas to CNN were blue. They were blue votes. Mm. And people were losing their mind that Texas was going to go blue last night. And it just shows how, again, on the other side now, delusional someone can be.
Yeah.
To actually think that the state of Texas is going to vote for a Democrat. Just like all these guys, it's actually funny, the town I work in, I live 10 minutes from the Massachusetts border. A lot of the guys reside in Massachusetts. And they talk about voting for Trump and this and that. And you're never going to see the Republican nominee voted to the presidency through Massachusetts. It's just not – I'm sorry. It's not happening.
Right.
At least not in either of our lifetimes or probably our grandchildren's. And just – I just – have a hard time wrapping my mind around the disillusion, whether it be the illusion that people have that everything, every little thing they do mattered. And you know, the people that really believe it. And granted, maybe all we got out of last night was, okay, maybe these elections aren't completely rigged. Maybe they can only rig it so far.
Oh, we were having a lot of fun with the rigging talk last night. We said we used a lot of rigging lines, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Everything
it was
rigged
until Trump took the lead and kept it.
Yeah.
In my eyes.
That's it. Everything was rigged until he won because this is bullshit. Well, let's go to another one. Well, actually, you know what, Johnny? Let me call you back. I'm going to say my thank yous and stuff, so I don't want to bore you.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Everybody, first of all, Patreon.com. I want to thank Mike May. Mike May became a patron last night, and I'm so grateful to him. He knows what we're doing. And Mike May was here, obviously. And so I got one more person to thank. But everybody, this show is just going to keep growing. You, listen to what we said before. What was one of the greatest things that was really put out there? The alternative news, alternative media, not just Facebook and Twitter and all that. I'm talking about people who are looking for their own information, that they're sharing information, whether it be where, you know, Reddit, those, all of those internet forums. You have these podcasts, you have blogs, everybody. This is a really exciting time. You know, it's you don't have to go to the New York Times. You don't have to go to this stuff anymore. I go there when I need some numbers. You know, they have good stats. But aside from that, we know it's not objective journalism, and all that is gone. We've seen that proven, that they're working with political parties. So why? Why even try? It's over. And we were able to build this. We were able to expose lies. We were able to get a clearer grip on things. So as we go on, this show's going to have to grow, and we're going to have to do new things with it and have a lot more fun. And I want you guys to be a part of it. Now, I don't want to really take on a lot of sponsorship elsewhere if I don't have to. I'd love to fund it with you guys. So consider going to patreon.com/ quite frankly and checking that out. So now, big shout out to all my friends now. All my bosses. Michael Wells. Give me something. Michael Wells, Matt Smith, Rudy Escarcega, Matt DeFabio, right over there. Brad Meyer, Nikki Solis, Sean Collins. I told you Sean Collins is a rum guy, so we have to do that. Jackie Milam, StephanieKBeauty.com, Andrew Dame, Christian Peppers, Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum, Laura Veras, Maxanne Caparato, Eric Reitz, Gadget Doc, Marianne Hart, Perry Little, and of course Mike May. I'm going to give you guys another shout out at some point soon, because remember last night I forgot all my names.
You pulled an Iron Man fucking broadcast last night, bro.
We did.
No, you did not. You said we. You did.
Hold on. I think that Midas just called. I'm going to call him back. Anarchy in Black.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Did Rachel Maddow cry last night?
Probably. Absolutely. And joining us right now, our good buddy, Midas. Midas, how are you today? What is going through your mind?
I am elated today, Frank. I'm running on about 3 hours of sleep right now. And, you know, today was just a rush. I was up till 3 a.m. watching these results. Mm. I regret immensely that I wasn't able to call in during this apparently marathon-long show that you did.
Oh, Christ.
I pretty much went 80 on the expressway trying to get home as soon as class ended to give a scouting report on what's happening at our universities.
What's happening right now?
Okay, so this, just to give you a narrative, this morning as I got out of my first class during our day's common hours, I approached the school library. I could hear shouting on a megaphone, but I wasn't sure what it was, but it sounded like call and response, like something out of some Indiana Jones movie with some savage tribe. And as I round the corner, what I see are a bunch of college liberals, obviously pink hair and undercuts abound, crying. They're crying as they shout into a microphone about how they won't succumb to fear. I'm not joking. As they're crying. They started to march, and they said, and Frank, I need you to believe me. I wouldn't lie. I wouldn't embellish a story. They said verbatim, okay, if anybody needs to hold hands, you should do so now, and we'll start walking.
Guys, this is in Long Island, guys.
That's in Long Island?
Yeah, Anarchy and Midas is from New York.
Dude, you should have pulled your phone out and recorded that.
I didn't get to record that. I was able to record them sitting at the bridge that crosses the Hempstead Turnpike. Like, they were sitting on it's like an enclosed bridge. They weren't literally sitting in traffic. That would require courage. No, they were just sitting on, like, the footpath, like, sitting on either side. They stayed there for hours. They moved out in front of the student center. They were like reading poetry. One of my other friends, who is also a libertarian, he's like a law student, and I asked him a few hours later, like, hey, did you see like some, well, okay, actually, sorry, he didn't see them, this friend is blind, but did you encounter, sorry, like some whiny liberals? And he says, you know, I did hear somebody shouting about wanting like a gay president with AIDS, and I thought they were joking. What was that? And I explained, like, our friends on the left are having some adverse reactions.
This is the side effects. But it's the greatest thing ever, because the parody of all of this, the greatest tragedy or comedy, whatever the hell it is that their behavior is why this happened.
That's what I tried to tell them.
It's like, this is why it happened, guys. You've got to sack up.
I know, man. Listen, I was with some, well, I'm not gonna call them friends, with some acquaintances in the place where I normally hang out, and I'm hearing them like make these condescending comments about, like, you know, about these ignorant white rednecks, about the second coming of the brown shirts. And I tried to tell them, like, guys, you need to understand, like, every time you joke about white privilege or white fragility or talking about like these ignorant rednecks, you might as well just put money in a swear jar and donate it to Donald Trump's campaign. Like, that's just 10th every, like, you see that joke you made about bringing back Jim Crow? That's 10,000 votes for Donald Trump right there. That's it.
I mean, we were talking about it last night. Probably one of the biggest turning points that you could just look straight ahead and shoot on till morning now was when Hillary gave everybody the moniker of deplorable. Once the country was cut like a Thanksgiving turkey like that, Forget about it. They just don't understand. This is why you don't feed the trolls.
like I can't decide if it was that or even earlier on in the during the Democratic convention where half of the attend of the audience just walked out.
Yeah.
Like as a Bernie protest, and they had to fill the seats with actors. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I can't decide if it was that or the Basket of Deplorables comment that really sunk the campaign.
Oh God, there are so many things. Her campaign should have sunk when she started barking like a dog last year sometime. That was ridiculous. But I don't know. Well, as far as I know, you made it public yesterday that you voted, which is like, is that your first time?
Yeah, this is it's my first time. I'll never forget it, I'll tell you that.
How did it feel? Was it fun?
Yeah, it was fun. It didn't last very long, and I wasn't quite sure what I was doing at first, but once I got the hang of it, it was pretty enjoyable.
I just stood there. I just voted all day. It was great. after the fifth time I voted, I was just like, yo, this is amazing. Let's go to more.
Whoa. This isn't Chicago. What is this?
Unbelievable.
I only voted once.
It's all good. If you're voting in New York anyway, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't really matter.
My original plan, honestly, was to vote Gary Johnson just to give, like, just for strategic reasons, just so that, you know, we'd have a, I could boost the Libertarian Party's, you know, their numbers. And then I decided, like, you know what, it doesn't matter. And, like, let's try winning. Let's just see what it's like to be on the winning team for a bit.
Hey,
and I did it, and it was totally worth it.
It was so fun, right?
Yeah,
dude, I haven't been on a winning team. Actually, no, I've been on. No, I'm sorry. I voted for the winners in 2004 and 2008, but I consider myself 0-2 because it wasn't exactly like I got it right and I didn't understand anything that was going on. But as far as this election goes, this is the first time I voted for somebody with a clear interpretation of what is going on right now and all the converging storylines, and made a conscious decision and actually came out with the win. So I'm glad we're all on the same team on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, man, this was a great call, dude. How's everything else been with you?
Not too bad. Finishing up with school, working on grad school applications, alienating everybody that I need to write my letters of recommendation.
Where are you? What field are you going into? I don't think I've read. Oh, wait, you said economics. Oh, economics. Okay.
Because I double major in poli sci and economics, so.
So that you want to be a teacher one day?
I'm not sure. That's a bridge to cross when we get to it.
So then, what kind of a job title is like on your mantle right now as far as a goal goes? If you're a poli sci economics type of guy,
I'm going for the doctorate in economics because a bachelor's degree in political science is like just a prerequisite for law school, really.
Gotcha.
I'm going for the PhD in economics. With a PhD in economics, I could do some kind of government think tank. I could teach economics, some kind of media consultant. I mean, telling people about economics is what you do with a doctorate in economics.
Okay.
You're advising someone, either the public or a corporation or students or something.
Okay, got you. I didn't know. I like that. Hey, you know what? That's like another language, man. I'm glad you can speak it because if I ever need help, I'll be calling you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but other than that, dude, thank you for calling in. If you hear anything else that we say tonight that you want to comment on, just call right back.
How much longer is the show?
Well, it's 7:59 now, but we have nothing going on at 8:00. So I'm going to spill over because I want to do a few more things.
All right. Glad to be on.
All right, man. Glad to have you. That is Mr. Midas, Anarchy in Black. Anarchy in Black. Oh, we should have played this last night. I should have put this on my iPod and drove throughout town at 3 in the morning.
Yo.
What's up?
You have to look up. Go to DJ Meme Works on YouTube and type MAGA Wars, The Last Hope, Donald Trump Star Wars parody.
Well, how long is it?
It's a trailer.
Trailer. Okay. I have. Let me see here.
Honest Trailers Independence Day came out.
What's it called?
MAGA Wars, MAGA Wars.
Okay, Make America Great Again Wars.
The Last Hope.
The Last Hope. Oh, you know, I saw a.
See this because look at the end with look at the end where the ghosts are.
Okay. The Trump plane.
I was raised to do one thing. Vote Democrat. But I've got nothing to fight for.
It doesn't matter what the freaking legal and ethics people say. We need to win this motherfucker.
Donald Duck?
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenboni.
Kenboni!
Hillary Clinton is a high priestess of Satanism.
James Comey. George Soros is Snoke. This is amazing.
Do a barrel roll.
It's nice to 1-on-3.
The dark side. The Jedi.
Oh my God, wait a second.
They're real.
Oh my God, hold on a second.
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities, some...
DJ Memeworks, it's called. Oh, we have to get in touch with him. This is all his?
Yeah.
Oh, we've got to get in touch with him. He only has 2,300 subscribers. Hold on, and now they end with the blood, the cooking, spirit cooking. I have to see... You got Harambe? You've got Pepe the Frog. And who's this again?
I don't know. Who the fuck is
who is this? Andrew Breitbart?
No.
Is that Andrew Breitbart?
Harambe.
No. You know what's funny? Because the next thing I have here is a Harambe article. I found this thing on Twitter. Somebody had tweeted out a screen capture of someone who went absolutely insane on Twitter. Okay? And it's been going... I mean... It's the only post I had on Tumblr that has ever gone viral. And, of course, when a Tumblr post goes viral when you upload something, nobody ever follows the person that the source is from. So this thing has been shared like over 10,000 times already in the last 10 hours. No, that's not it. Oh, here it is. So this is what I got. Wait until you guys see this. This guy, Grinchy Tyler, so Tom Schilland, okay, Schilland or whatever the hell it is. This is when it first got out there that about 11,000, this is at 2.06 p.m. today. Now, it says 11,000 here, but people are saying that up to 15,000 votes were cast, write-in votes for Harambe. There had been 15,000 write-in votes for Harambe. And so listen, look at this. So he said, Harambe got 11,000 write-in votes. You're all fucking stupid. The meme was never funny. You're all fucking assholes. He started going crazy. The next one, look at this. Literally, how fucking dumb are you? You wasted valuable votes on a fucking gorilla to be trendy and funny for a fucking overused and corny meme. You're pieces of shits. So this guy went crazy. Now, the reason why this is funny is because 15,000 people didn't throw their vote away. If 15,000 people said, I'm going to go write in Harambe, trust me, they were not intending to vote for anybody. And they say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to vote for this shit, but let's just go in there and write in something stupid. They were already not invested in the storyline that you projected onto the entire country. The stop Trump at all, because of course this is probably a never Trumper. The storyline that you projected onto the entire country that we need to be abiding by, they were not in it. They were not intending to vote. They obviously didn't think that this was as important as you did. So why do you think that they wasted their vote? They should have listened to you, hysterical tweeter? The hysterical. I love how all these hysterical people, these Johnny-come-latelys that don't know a goddamn thing, think that people, other people, everybody else that's not thinking the way they do, in their ignorant state, doesn't know what they're talking about. Meanwhile, people like us, everybody in the chat room, here we are. We would be ignorant people to them. Can you imagine being called ignorant by... I mean, that's the thing that burns you. It's not that a stupid person called you ignorant. It's just that you would never, ever, in so many cases, be able to get them to understand how stupid they are. That's the thing that burns me. Hey, what's going on, Gadget Doc? How you been?
Good. I just got done with my other thing, so... I've kind of been monitoring the show in the background.
So what do you think so far?
One of the things that I want to say is we shouldn't be overselling Trump. One. Because it sounded like this is the greatest thing since the invention of Wonder Bread.
Oh, no. This is a momentous for lots of reasons. But I by no means do I think that we just elected John Adams.
No, I think we're really gonna have to watch this guy. So I do think it's gonna be interesting because he'll end up probably being like John Tyler, which was the guy that basically got thrown out of his own party. He was the first accidental president. Tippecanoe and Tyler too.
Yep.
So it's going to be an interesting ride. Remember, the electors do not necessarily have to vote. The way their state votes depends on the law of the state. So there still could be a twist in this. And I also really am disappointed in some of my friends. Not that I'm disappointed in them, but that they're coming out with their knives out at me. I've been pretty open. I wasn't gloating about, Trump winning, but now I'm a racist bigot, misogynist, and the worst thing that has ever happened, and that bothers me. Not because they think so little of me now. And it's not fair that I just picked somebody that I couldn't vote for Clinton. And Clinton lost. I supported her in 2008. I didn't support her this time around because of what she did in Benghazi. She lost my vote there. And then it kept dogpiling with everything else that kept coming out.
I can't believe somebody would ever think that you're a nasty... who knows? Maybe you have a completely different life outside of what you show us on the show. Maybe you are a nasty bigot.
Maybe. But these are people that have known me all my life. And no, I don't... These are people that I've grown up with and know that I love everybody. I don't care. I don't care who you go to bed with. I don't care what complexion you have. I don't care where in the world you've come from. As long as you're not harming anybody or you've not broken anything. And even if you break, if you're here illegally, I'm not going to rat you out because I don't give a shit. It's none of my business. Mm-hmm. Go remain in the shadows. It's not my business. I'm a live and let live kind of person. I figured, of the two choices, who's going to give America a better chance of everybody, all boats rising, Trump or Clinton? Out of the two, I held my nose and I voted for Trump. Because let's be honest about it. He's a conservative Democrat at best. He's definitely not a conservative Republican. Mm-mm. He's not a neoconservative by any stretch of the imagination.
That's why I really just wish there was a way to get people to be a little bit less hysterical. But identity politics has been used, and it really got me. It really killed me because I was watching. I watched President Trump. I watched President-elect Trump. I watched Hillary Clinton's speech today at 11 o'clock or so, and mm-hmm. she was great. And then I saw the president in the Rose Garden with Joe Biden, and he was even stronger than Clinton. And I'm thinking to myself here, you know, it's ridiculous that you see all of this. If they were acting this calm and collected and reasonable in the way that they present their ideas the entire time without blowing the dog whistles and spending all that time race baiting and making people hate each other, it's almost like, why are you going to have this really peaceful transition right now, make us all feel like, what are we doing right now? Are we making up? What is this? You know, it's such weirdness right now. Why couldn't it have been like this the whole time? This is what people should be upset about.
Well, the president and Mr. Clinton don't want to flame any charges of inciting riots, right? Because mm-hmm. there are a lot of very upset people. Some of them are not emotionally stable mm-hmm. on both sides. Let's put it that way. We'll say that there are nut jobs on both the left and the right, but right now the left is a little more emotional about the situation. And as far as it dog whistles and whatever and so on and so forth, we know, even from us trying to be balanced in our presentation, that if we had more tabloid-type headlines or more clickbait, we'd grow that much faster, but we've decided as an organization to keep it balanced, to not go through that really sensational side of the house.
Right.
And
I think that it's just new. It's just very, very fresh for people. I think that everybody just has to have things calm down. And anything else you want to add, Gadget Doc?
Seriously, it was a landslide. He took over blue states. He converted Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, nearly took Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota was very close. So this was not something where Trump just, you know, it wasn't like it was only a small minority of people that went for Trump. They got a What I really want people to take away from this is nobody likes being called stupid. Nobody, and when you insult any group, they're going to react negatively on this. So even the victorious side needs to be gracious and not insult the left. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to make anything better for anybody. It may feel good, but don't do it. It's just not worth it because it'll come back and bite you in the ass in the midterms and then the next presidential election. Mark my words.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for that, Gadget Doc. We'll definitely talk to you tomorrow or sometime.
Right. Out.
All right, man. Be well. And that's it. That's it. Here is one thing that somebody said, going back to how Gadget Doc was painted. Somebody tweeted, and this started some discourse. As my dad just said, millions of white people kept their mouths shut, went into the booth, checked over their shoulder, and voted Trump. And somebody said, seriously, the polls told us who voted for him, and now we know they think quietly what he says out loud, so we know who we need to be tremendously wary of. Most white cishet men over 45. Cishet means, you know, cisgendered type of stuff. So some crazy person said that. And then somebody else said, baby cakes, said, nah, we need to be wary of all white people in America. 66% of white women and 77% of white men voted for Trump. This includes millennials, Gen Xers, and baby boomers. All of y'all are gonna own your shit. And then Mr. Cappadocia said something that I really loved, and I wanted to keep this with you. So when you just think about this type of stuff. Or maybe, just maybe, they're tired of being afraid of you. Maybe this isn't a referendum on them, but a referendum on you. Remember that the America that voted Trump is the same America that voted in Barack Obama. And that your shrill and shrieking cries and demands did not stop. They intensified. Demands that couch themselves in whipping word accusations of racism and bigotry and misogyny. They have grown tired of coddling a people that clearly hates them. They have grown tired of offering apology after apology, payout after payout, only to discover it will never be enough. This election has revealed a cold fucking truth. They can't change who they were born as, and you won't stop hating them for that fact. So one of you has got to go, and there's more of them than there are of you. So there's often talk of how white people are in positions of power, and in your arrogance, I think you've forgotten just how true that is. Wow, there's a lot to think about, don't you think? You know, it's just really, really think about that, everybody out there. Take a step back and look in the mirror. What am I saying? And what am I? I was watching. I've been getting reports of friends of ours making big, long-winded white male speeches. These are white males. I'm like, dude, what's going on? Are you all right? What I mean, I don't know what kind of a world that they live in, but they've been turned in on themselves, and it's very, very sad. So this was one of those things that actually kind of got me good. Daily Snark talked about Harambe, a dead gorilla, got over 15,000 votes for president. Sounds good. We watched the MAGA Wars. Last hope, I subscribe to DJ MemeWorks. I'm going to get this URL, and I'll get in touch with them then. Let me see. So that was one thing. White voters. Did that. Harambe dead gorilla. We did that. If you believe any of the fun. Oh, here's another. What do you think we did? Well-written letter. We did that. Vladimir Putin. You know, it's 8:18. We'll just go to 8:30. We'll just go to 8:30. Once again, this is almost like a little bit less formatted show than we usually do. We'll get back to complete old form tomorrow with a little bit more of a tightness to it. But obviously, there's so much to compute. Vladimir Putin congratulates the new U.S. president, already says he can't wait to sit down and talk.
Donald Trump's already bringing us one step closer towards world peace.
That was a great delivery. Oh, speaking of deliveries, Matt wrote me terrible, hateful notes again, but now he's writing them in Latin.
What are you? No, wait, notes?
Oh, wait, hold on. This is it?
Yes. Notes.
I had a new note. I left it on my dresser this morning.
We went through this case before I was exonerated.
Just remember, everybody, if he writes you a letter soon, we're going to have more penmanship samples to go over.
That's fine. You can show him whatever evidence you have.
Matt, what do you think? Well, just do you... Okay, let's assume that you're innocent. I'm sorry. I guess I just have a knee-jerk reaction.
It's, yeah, innocent until proven guilty, bro.
Okay. Well, let's say...
Casey Anthony, they said.
Let's say that you have... innocence on your side. Do you by any chance know any Latin?
A little.
Okay, now if I read you something here, do you think you'd be able to let me know what it means?
It depends.
Okay, well here is the...
The only reason why I know it is because I started to study it myself.
Oh, you started to study it?
Years ago.
Well, now they're writing me Latin. Okay, it's called Gravoria Manent. Manent. Gravoria Manent. M-A-N-E-N-T. You know what that is?
Nah. Maybe. So,
what are some of the root words? What does it mean?
I can't tell you.
Come on, just guess if you could, from your knowledge.
What's it means? It's something. It's something like dreary.
It's something dreary?
Yeah.
What the fuck does this mean? Gravoria Manent. Signed, of course, SS.
Gravoria Manent.
Yeah, and I was given another Latin riddle last night. Just can't trust anybody.
Gravoria Manent.
See, Brian O'Connor, she's trying to put it together. Mert is shit in French. Merda. Merda.
Oh. What is it? Say it again.
Gravoria Manent. Manent.
Gravoria.
Oh, what is it?
Something about a danger ahead.
Oh.
Something along those lines.
Once again, there's always danger in my future, right?
I think it's like danger awaits or something like that.
Why this goddamn thing?
If you showed me the other one, I might be able to decipher it.
I should ask. I don't know.
Even started because you told me, you know.
Brian O'Connor says greater dangers await.
Yeah, that's it. He speaks Latin. It might have been him.
Anarchy in Black says Manent means to remain or to stay or something like that. I probably didn't say it right. So okay, so then somebody's sending me another. It's good.
Vino Veritas.
It's almost like they're challenging me to learn a new language before they kill me.
Yeah.
So why are they like toying with me like this, you think?
I don't know. But I looked up like Latin, and remember I sent you the text. It's an old ancient Roman language, and scholars maintain that it's mostly extinct by now, so clearly we're dealing with an advanced group of people here.
What are we talking about? The translation of San Diego?
No, I mean, they're using Latin.
The translation was lost hundreds of years ago. Does it mean Saint Diego?
No, that's not right.
Well, agree to disagree. And some cheese. Opus Dei is out to get you, Frank. Opus Dei is not that. Opus Dei is not coming to get us. We're not bothering anybody. We're just chilling. All right, so let me get to one last thing. And then tomorrow I'm gonna search the odd news. Gonna see what odd news pops up. Sky Pig, we did that. Wars, no moss here. What think you way to do? Vladimir Putin. That was great to see that happen already. We should have Anarchy in Black. Midas should call in again next episode, so we can talk about, because he's very into the Arab-Israeli conflict. One thing that I've never really gone into, so I'd like to. It'd be cool to hear what both Gadget Doc and Midas have to say about that, because I'm sure that they're probably going to be on different ends. I think Gadget Doc is pro-Israel. And I'd like to see where that all goes, if they would like to help color that in for everybody at home, because I would get an education and some things to consider. I think everybody else would too. That would be something new, because it's relevant again, as the U.S. is going to start hitting the reset button, literally, on a few of our relationships around the world. China's going to be one. Mexico's going to be another. Russia has already begun.
Everyone's going to get what they deserve. Everyone's going to pay.
And Benjamin Netanyahu is already accepted Donald Trump's invitation to come meet with him here in the United States.
Yeah, because they know. So they know now if they don't listen, they're going to fucking pay.
See? Matt is the guy I don't send to be the diplomat. Can you imagine if we made Matt a diplomat?
I'd be able to be diplomatic.
Diplomatic? Just talking about how you're handling Facebook comments.
Dude, I thought I handled it calmly. I mean, I asked the kid.
Oh yeah, well the fascism.
What fascism was, and you know, I.
No, that was a good one.
But the other one, I just, you know, whatever, I flipped out.
You gotta flip out, man. You gotta win votes.
Because if I ever run for mayor, I'm gonna talk the same way I do. Like on that, I don't care.
Really?
Yeah. Until this guy, you know, he's dumb. He's stupid. You're gonna vote for him. You're just as stupid. You know, vote for me.
That'd be great. We should have like presidential elections. We used to have those. Me, Anthony, and Mike, we put together our own elections, but it was every year. One of us ran for emperor. We ran for emperor of the Zaralzan Empire because the Zaralzan Empire is real. And we had a whole register. We actually had a slave system. It was funny. We had auctions.
See, I would have ran in to abolish it. That would have been my running angle.
It was so funny. We had so many people involved in that. But it wasn't like slaves. It was called masters and toadies.
Oh,
because Anthony is always Mike's toady. You know, like Mike would just walk around and Anthony would like do his bidding. They would play into it a little bit more back then. Like Mike would do this countdown thing. And once he counted down to zero, Anthony would just go attack me or something like that. But you know, one time Mike walked Anthony around on his hands and knees with a collar on his neck. We took a picture of that. That was funny as hell. I still have that picture. I know it's a little weird, but we shared our weirdness with the people that we broadcasted in front of back in 2006, 2007, and all that stuff. And people loved it so much that they wanted their own toadies. Okay, and. And what we did was we made like a lottery of who would be a master and who would be a toady and all that stuff so the masters can pick their toadies and all that shit. And I kept a registrar of who owned who. And Mike even made this ranking system of toadies. Of when a toady does some really bad things, they get downgraded. So the ranking system was like toady. Mike, do you remember... Do you remember some of the things?
I remember the last one was like 20 leagues under the sea.
Yes. When you start doing things, when you start disobeying your master, you start taking on like different names. And the worse it got, it was like, no, I think Mr. You called him Mr. 20,000 Leagues under the sea. But the worst one, I think, was Mr. Body.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Body, because that's how you are, just the body.
That's it. Like when you lose all of your, when you've done something so bad that your master disowns you, you're just called Mr. Body. You're not even a person anymore. You're just a body. but then it was Toady Master, right?
Yeah, it was Toady Master.
See, we were weird. We still are. But that's the fun stuff. That's the fun stuff we used to have. Oh my god. This is why we can't have nice things anymore. Alright guys, it's 8:28. That's it for tonight. I think I'm going to talk to Anarchy in Black and Gadget Doc off air to see if we can schedule a night where we can give both sides of the Arab-Israeli conflict and so we all can think about it. Because there's going to be the very relevant issue of U.S. and Israeli relations and a strengthening or a redefining and a new way of approaching that entire area of the world, especially since the Obama administration was very pro-Iran. Clinton would have been very pro-Iran, and you can bet your ass that the Iran nuclear deal is going to be reviewed by the Trump administration.
Yep. You get your. You ain't getting no fucking shit, you stupid fucks. You said you're going to use it on Israel. What do you think? We're going to fucking give it to you, idiots?
Who are you
what do you think? We're dumb?
Who are you talking to?
I'm just saying that's what Trump's going to tell him.
Oh, yes.
You think we're dumb?
Hey, sit down.
Like,
I'm
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump
the
goes,
the fuck out of here.
Oh, wait a second. You know what? Before we get off, let's just quickly go to that.
He starts talking with an Italian accent.
It's like all the things, the worst things. It's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, if he came out for his speech and he's like, thank you very much. Of course, the first thing we need to do is put that crook Hillary in jail. I mean, oh, God. That would be like, all right, yeah. We made a mistake.
Dude, you heard this. Is the people, there's a lock her up. Lock her up.
Well, people have to learn to pipe down here. You know, you start thinking to yourself right now, it's not his job to be the top law enforcement officer in the land. It's his job to put people who are fair, who are not tainted by politics, who have a proven track record of being independent regardless of their own personal voting patterns, and that they protect and preserve the Constitution.
Yep, that's why
if you do that, then independent review of new information that pops up that Congress calls and subpoenas people under, that all takes care of itself. So for everybody to scream at a president to lock a person up, that's the same as everybody screaming at Obama to do something about guns or to do something about a person, Darren Wilson, for shooting Mike Brown. It's the same thing everybody's saying, we want justice, we want Darren Wilson. Well, I mean, you know, let their systems in place here.
Trey Gowdy will get her. He'll get her. Eventually he'll get her.
We'll see. Who knows?
I know he will.
Who knows? In either case, we got to see what the appointments are. We got to see all these things. It's going to be very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. So everybody, if you just remember that's the thing we have to do tonight. What presidents cannot do. You know what? We're going to stand just a little bit longer. I want to get this out there. Ready? Here's something I really, really liked because this is all for real. Things a president cannot do. This is from, I forgot what blog. I'll try to find it at the end. Reverse any Supreme Court decision. So this is for everybody who thinks that Roe v. Wade is going to be, you're going to lose your abortions and you're going to lose. That Jim Crow and everything else. Yeah, all the worst parts of the Bible are going to come true. This includes same-sex marriage, the whole woman's health versus Hellerstedt, which affirmed the woman's right to choose first articulated in Roe v. Wade. Supreme Court, all that stuff, the Miranda rights, all that stuff. He does not have the power to write law or repeal any existing law, okay? While traditionally presidents have exerted influence on legislative agenda, see Obama's role in advancing and promoting the Affordable Care Act, well, he also gave himself some legislative powers with his pen and his phone every time he delayed implementation of the law and delayed certain parts of the law from being implemented and all that stuff. That's kind of legislating. Any kind of change like that, right down to the date of implementation, needs to be done by an act of Congress. The executive branch does not legislate. This is how this is why it was supposed to be separated. But of course, as Anarchy in Black would say, yeah, that's the way it was supposed to work. But it hasn't. So has it in fact worked? You got a point. We got to get back there and find some integrity. Well, human beings don't have integrity. Well, then just, you know what, just whatever. Can't do this anymore. They can't write law. They can't make any law or declaration that infringes on any way on any rights of the states.
For the president?
Yeah.
We'll see about that now. Now that Premier Trump is in, we'll see about that, you fucks. I'm only joking, by the way. It's just
Matt, there's very scared people out there right now.
I know, that's why I play on people's fear. I like people to be scared. You're scared. You know, it's good for people to be afraid all the time. It really is.
Okay, we'll get around to the rest of this tomorrow. Here's another one. Cal Exit. Everybody wants to leave California. They want to secede. Okay.
Well, bye-bye.
Go ahead.
Go, please.
Go ahead. That's a big tax drain.
Either that or the earthquake and the asphalt, and they, you know, float off into the ocean.
No, there's good people there that we don't want to float away.
You know, let them.
But everybody's just saying things. It's ridiculous. We're just sifting.
The hill's not until we know.
We're sifting through it. What presidents cannot do. There's more of that there. Oh, here's how we'll live. Okay, we'll do all of the celebrity stuff tomorrow. Celebrities who said that they're going to leave. Let's end with Alex Jones. Here is a new one. They wrote a... He was doing an on-air prayer. Okay?
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee.
And somebody edited it. And this is how we're going to leave off tonight. So everybody, enjoy yourselves. We'll see you tomorrow. You're fantastic. And... history keeps rolling on.
I hope the audience will come before God. If you're a Christian, pray with me that a hedge of protection be put up around Donald J. Trump and all of us that are fighting for truth and justice, and that all of the enemy's plans be turned against him, and that we be given discernment and providence to overcome the enemy. And that we thank God for Donald Trump. This is 100% real. The energy level is just rising to an absolute cacophony, a crescendo, a finale, a coup de grace. A Gudrun-Dumarong battle. Oh, it's a twilight of the gods, all right. These would-be gods of the New World Order. They're no gods at all. Rock-Nuruk. Trump's gonna lie.